conservation area. Come and dive back 450 million years ago. But just make sure that you bring along a snorkel, because this area was at the bottom of a huge freshwater sea. This sea was full of live creatures called trilobites, animals that look like plants called crinoids, shellfish, and corals. Eventually, over time, layers of material such as sand, clay, and dead organic matter, similar to the hard shells of some sea creatures, began to build up layer upon layer. Over millions of years of pressure, these fossils became entombed and compressed in sand and silt, resulting in buried treasure. Clay became shale. Sand became sandstone. Calcium carbonate became limestone. And when there was magnesium in the sediment, it became dolostone, forming the erosion-resistant upper cap rock of the Niagara Escarpment. Today, you are walking on top of the cap rock with many layers of sedimentary rock made of fossils such as the cephalopod, similar to the giant squid, or the ribbed clam-like shell of the trilobite, under your feet. Another highlight along the base of the escarpment and in the riverbeds is the brick red shale, which colors much of the soil in the area. Besides lending its name to the community, brick was made from this terracotta-colored shale, which literally means baked earth. The community of Terracotta developed slowly, and it was the last village created in the area, perhaps due to the steep terrain of the Niagara Escarpment. Before it became known as Terracotta, the area was called Tucker's Mills because a mill was the first infrastructure erected. It later was renamed Salmonville, as it was reputed that Atlantic salmon were so plentiful that they could be speared with a pitchfork. Atlantic salmon were formerly extirpated due to dams, water pollution from decomposing industrial organic waste, and over-harvesting. Although some of these issues still persist today, many have been and continue to be addressed to ensure the success of the reintroduced salmon to the area. Terracotta was never large, but it was important to the neighboring farming community. By 1873, it had two hotels, a post office, a telegraph office, two sawmills, a grist mill, and a population of 70 people. Apart from agriculture, all of the industry collapsed in the 1930s depression, and industry never returned to the area. Instead, the industrial importance of Terracotta was replaced with a recreation focus. In 1949, Terracotta opened as a recreational facility known as the Terracotta Playground. The site consisted of 100 acres, rentable cabins, a dance pavilion, picnic tables, and a 30-acre pond for trout fishing, all created by Leo Wolf. The largest of Terracotta's man-made lakes, Wolf Lake, bears his name. In 1958, the property was sold to Credit Valley Conservation, and since its establishment, these 408 acres have been among the most outstanding natural and recreational resources within the watershed. The rugged topography, numerous rivers, lakes, and ponds also provide outstanding recreation opportunities. To maximize on its recreational value, a swimming pool, trails, and campgrounds were established. If you look around today, you will see no sign of a pool or campground, as the vision slowly changed from a recreational conception to embracing protection of the environmentally significant proportions of the parkland, as it has provincially significant areas of natural and scientific interest. In order to protect these areas and in line with this new vision, the campgrounds were naturalized and the one-acre pool was transformed into an award-winning provincially significant wetland. Take a few minutes to listen to the sounds of the wetland, and perhaps you will hear some of the insects that thrive in this revitalized space. Look for some of the dragonflies darting around like mini helicopters after their winged prey, or females touching their tails to the water to deposit eggs. It is in the water that the immature dragonfly nymph develops, using its gills to breathe and its quick, snatching jaw to catch underwater prey. Another common sound is the trill of the red-winged blackbird that can be heard resonating through this wetland. The male's bright red and yellow shoulder patches show brightly against black bodies as they sway on top of the cattails. The female blackbird is more difficult to spot as it blends into the brown cattails, making it easy for them to make and tend to a nest. Cold water, cool water, and warm water fish habitats are also found in terracotta's waterways. The cold headwater streams come from the forests and wetlands well above the escarpment, fed by groundwater. The brook trout require cold water streams and are highly sensitive fish, requiring specific temperatures and clean water to incubate overwintering eggs. Human-made ponds at terracotta are being naturalized, bypassed, or removed to provide for colder waters downstream to restore the native brook trout community. This project will help to decrease water evaporation, maintain cooler temperatures, allow gravel to move downstream, encourage fish movement, and lessen the effects of climate change on the watershed. In addition to terracotta's wealth of waterways, explore the network of 12 kilometers of all-season trails that wind through parts of the Niagara Escarpment. The Niagara Escarpment, a major component of terracotta's unique and marvelous location, is recognized and designated as a biosphere reserve by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Additionally, it has been highlighted by the Parks and Open Space System to be one of the 10 focal areas called nodal parks, as it highlights diverse environments and regional differences. Ongoing conservation and preservation of this site is a top priority to ensure that present and future generations continue to enjoy its beauty, explore its past, and take part in its future.